praise and with thanksgiving, and that we're not ashamed of the glory of Jesus, for it is the gospel unto salvation. And Lord, this morning we are excited to worship you. We're excited to praise you. We're excited to encourage one another. And Lord, this morning, as Bob shares, Lord, I pray, Lord, just as he encourages us under your word, Lord, I pray that it wouldn't just be his idea or what he just had a revelation in a moment in his quiet time. But Father God, this would be something that really just picks up on the heartbeat of our Heavenly Father. Lord, I know he's just a man, and he acknowledges that himself, that he's just a man, he's just a vessel, Lord. And just I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would come and fill him up. Fill him up overflowing, that as he shares the word, it would just be anointed, Lord God. That even he would be just refreshed as he shares this morning, Jesus. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone specifically here this morning that really needs to hear what is shared, and just even as we've worshipped, it's been different, it's been maybe a little bit out of our comfort zone, that Lord, we would just quieten our hearts and settle our minds to know that Jesus, you are alive and that you are real and that you're a loving God. You're a creative, you're an expressive, you're an emotional God that has emotions, that has feelings, that loves to just be expressed in a way that is just glorifying to the Father. So we just pray that right now, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Really, this morning, I really, not that I'm out of breath with jumping up and down and clapping hands, but really knowing that the Holy Spirit is going to be with us this morning as we share his word. I'm just going to ask everyone just to perhaps in your minds, with all that which has been said and done already this morning, that we are here to honor mothers, grandmothers, and great-grannies. Perhaps you've had even a great-great-grandmother that you're very, very special about, and you remember her this morning. And maybe there's been other ladies in your lives that have really resounded a motherhood that cannot be expressed. And so this morning, as I was meditating through the passages of Scripture this morning, I really, really hope that you feel my heart here when I'm looking at the motherhood of our ladies, honoring mothers, grandmothers, mothers-to-be even. And I want to take it from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 4. Ockert, please. For it starts, and Paul is writing to perhaps to be imitators of God, he says in chapter 5. So as he goes through, he comes to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So this morning, I really want to emphasize honoring our mothers, our grannies. I have a story, basically, to read to you. I'm not an orator. I don't have sound effects. I don't have, perhaps, a real one of those, you know, Hollywood actor voices that really gives you the resounding words. But when God created mothers, when the Lord was creating mothers, he was in his sixth day of overtime, nonetheless, when the angel appeared and said, "You're taking a lot of time on this one." And God said, "Have you read the specs on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. She has to have 180 movable parts, all replaceable, mind you. Be able to run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair. And 6 pair of hands too." The angel shook his head and said, "6 pair of hands? No way! It's the hands that are causing me problems. It's not the hands that are causing me problems," God remarked. "It's the 3 pair of eyes that mothers have to have." "That's on a standard model?" asked the angel. God nodded, pleased. "1 pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' When she already knows. "Another hair in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to know. And of course, the ones here in front that can look at a child when he goofs up and she's able to say, I understand and I love you, without much as uttering a word. God, said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, get some rest. Go tomorrow and start afresh. I can't, said God. I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one here who heals herself when she is sick, can feed a family of six on only half a kg of mints, and can get a 9-year-old, yes, to stand under a shower and wash, and with soap. The angel circled the model of a mother very slowly. It's too soft, the angel sighed. But tough, said God excitedly. Sorry. You can imagine what this mother can do or endure. The angel circled again. Can it think? Not only can it think, but it can reason and compromise, said the Creator. Finally, the angel bent over and ran his finger across the model's cheek. There's a leak, he pronounced. I told you that you were trying too much to put into this particular model. It's not a leak, said the Lord. It's a tear. What's it for? Asked the angel. It's for joy. It's for sadness. It's for disappointment. It's for pain. It's for loneliness. And it's also for pride. There's something special about mothers. We can read from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31, totally about the whole aspect of a wife of noble character. And we can pull out certain attributes or characteristics of a mother. And I'm not going to read it all, Hockert, but if you just go to the next page, please. She is worth more than a precious gems. She's energetic, a hard worker. She watches for bargains. She works far into the night, the proverb goes. She sows for the poor and generously helps those in need. She's a woman of strength and dignity, and she has no fear of old age. Sorry, B. And when she speaks, people listen. Charm can be deceptive and beauty doesn't last. But a woman who fears and reverences God shall be greatly praised. And I think if we go through and we go through the Proverbs and we see the words of honor and recognition, a person of importance within a family is what a mother is, or a grandmother. And we can go through these values, characteristics, and qualities. We can go through her makeup. I said makeup, not a makeup bag, by the way. I didn't say that. Just go through the character, not what she puts on, but the character of a mother. And as I was really praying about this, the Lord gave me Luke chapter 1, verses 21 to 26. You'll probably think to me, this is a Christmas story, but it's not. It really is about the mother of Jesus. And it's through three little activities that in Mary's life that I want us to look at this morning. One is her obedience, one is her trust, and one is her love. And each one of those three things, whether you are man or woman, obedience, trust, and love is the value of the character that we're looking at this morning. Mary's life, if we read through the Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38, it was God's choice to be the mother for his son. And scripture really only records for us small little snippets of Mary's life. We know from the history and from what we read from Luke, Mary's life up to this point, before she was visited by the angel, her life was going well. Her life before was like any other. She was planning a life. She was planning something into the future. She was planning not like any other little girl who dreams of married life and of life beyond. She had recently become engaged to a carpenter, Joseph. We all know the story. And was anticipating married life. And so as we read, Mary was puzzled and frightened at the presence of this angel and to the message that was given to her. It was traditional at her age to become betrothed to her future husband. She would still live with her parents for maybe a year or maybe a little bit longer. And she was preparing for marriage and before being taken into a husband's home. And it was for her just a normal married life that she was expecting. So there was Mary, a Jewish young girl, betrothed, waiting for the rest of her life to begin. Waiting, planning, hoping. She was going to marry a carpenter, move into his house, raise a family, she dreamt, in the out-of-the-way town of Nazareth. We all know the story. And I'm sure that she wanted to be a good wife, a good husband, and a good mother. But then came this moment in time that took that ordinary girl out of her existence. When this messenger appeared, like God broke in. He broke in with his glory. His magnificence shone into that young girl's life. The same as it is with each one of us when we see God breaking into, perhaps this morning, into your hearts for the first time. When Mary received that call, the call that came from the word, it comes from a word, Kairo, which is not a common greeting. It was a word that means rejoice, be glad, be filled with joy. And it shares a root word with the Greek word for grace. Imagine that, being filled, to be overawed with the words rejoice. And I'm sure we all know the words from the Philippians. We all know it off by heart, I'm sure. Okay, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7 of Philippians. And the rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And because I believe that God comes in those special moments to each one of us, that first call to us is to have joy, to have his peace. So, are we rejoicing? Not so much, I hear. Comes strange. But he comes to you and me in those ordinary places of life. He comes to us, perhaps for the ladies this morning, into the kitchens, into the homes. The Lord comes through to the laundry rooms. He comes to when you're struggling. He comes into the workrooms for the men, to the classroom for the younger children who are still at school, into the offices and the perhaps even into your car. The Lord breaks in and says, rejoice. But are we rejoicing? Now for Mary, I'm sure her plans that she had in that moment when she had to say, I rejoice, or when she heard the words rejoice, Mary had to lay down her plans. Perhaps she had to lay down everything in her response. We must let go of our self-focus, if you like, and we receive this joy into our lives as the Lord speaks to us. But what should God's presence mean for each and every one of us? For Mary, and mostly for most of it, it means perhaps a new dream, a new plan, a new life, a new direction for the way in which our lives will unfold. But are we listening? Are we rejoicing as the Lord moves into our lives? Do we know God's favor? Do we really strongly and know his dynamic presence as we rejoice? It means a call out of the ordinary into the extraordinary. It means the Savior himself comes into our lives like it was to Mary. For Mary, it must have seemed rather crazy. Perhaps you're going to become pregnant. You're going to call your name, your son, Salvation. And he's going to be the Son of God. And he will be the Messiah. What an earful, what a thing, what a heartfelt thing to have heard. So like Mary, will we also ask when the Lord stands in front of us and asks of us to lay down our lives before him? Mary's simple words was, "How will this be?" I can only share with you things that have happened in my life. I can't share what's happened in Chad, Nikki, Barbara's, Lauren or Benny's lives. We've shared our lives together over the last 3 years. But I can only share with you this morning the living Christ that has affected me as I felt the new direction, the new life. I can only share and show the excitement that I have within my heart as the church grows here in George. It really is an excitement. But Jesus answers the same way to Mary as he does to each and every one of us by the Holy Spirit. Gabriel, the angel, said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." That Holy Spirit is the same for each and every one of us today. And out of obedience, do we receive what the Lord is saying to us this morning? Are you chosen by God? Or are you there with doubt? Maybe that negativity of what's happened in your past, but you are chosen, chosen by God. The Holy Spirit can come upon each and every one of us as we opened in praise this morning, as we really allowed the Spirit to lead us in a new song. Do we have that abundant life? Do we have that rejoicing within our spirits this morning? God revealed himself to Mary, and he's also revealing himself to each and every one of us as we come into his presence day by day in prayer, meditation, petition, the reading of his word. He comes before us and stands. Mary was obedient. She showed trust. She showed love. So what will your answer be? Mary's resounding answer was, "Yes, I am the Lord's servant." And over the last few years, I've heard many messages, I've read many inspirational words and books, but in each time that comes at the end or a conclusion of many of the services and many of the books, there is that time to respond, to really know and accept and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And over the years, there's many times when I've walked away, I've not really responded. I have not had that resounding, "Yes, I am the Lord's servant." There is a difference sometimes when the Holy Spirit really works in your heart and you have to become in that place to lay down something in your life. So are we being obedient? "May it be done to me according to your word," said Mary. She proclaimed herself fully belonging to God. His slave even, his servant, his handmaiden, one with no rights of her own, no separate life, no 8-to-5 job and then with the rest of her time being her own. No, she chose to be a person who fully, wholly belonged to her master. She surrendered wholly, fully. She didn't need the great understanding or have everything figured out. She still had perhaps dreams which she had to lay down, for it was God's plan that was beginning in her life. She didn't know it would lead to a manger, a cross. She didn't know that God called her to lay down her dreams and plans at that very moment and embrace his dreams. She didn't know perhaps at that moment there would be a cost. Mary knew that a yes would mean suffering, and it might bring even death. She knew her fiancé, Joseph, might leave her, but she said it anyway. She let go of her grip on her own dreams and expectations of life, and she embraced God's dream for her. There was that moment in time for Mary. Has there been, or is there still to be, a moment in time for you to say yes to the Lord? Perhaps will you? Will I? Not just once, as the Lord reveals something new in your life. Not just once in the kitchen or in a church service, at a camp, or maybe in the living room when you're talking with friends about God and Jesus. But every day, every hour, will we be willing to let go of our Josephs, our houses by the sea, our orderly lives and dreams, dreams of our families and what we plan to do, the success, how life ought to be, how we think. Mary knew that a yes would mean suffering. The call is to lay aside and instead to identify with God's household. Be his slave, be his servant. A new adventure. Rejoice. Yes, rejoice. But then that fear kicks in, doesn't it? We've had a moment of time in perhaps that living room, perhaps in the church service or a book we've read. We've had that moment where there was rejoice, but then fear seems to creep in. Because you are highly favored, God is with you, and that changes everything. Do we take hold of that this morning, that the Lord is saying to each and every one of us, you are highly favored. God is with us. So, we need to trust, our second word. For Mary, she was pregnant. And as we know the story, we go on a donkey ride. Perhaps we went on a foot journey of almost 160 kilometers. And I'm sure if I turn the concept over in my head and we kind of see the dust and the heat of the walk of 160 kilometers being expectant in that last few months of her expectancy, can she remember that she's still highly favored? Can she remember that? It doesn't look like any favor at all, trudging that dark, dusty road for 160 kilometers. The Bible really tells us nothing of this inconvenient journey, except that it happened. We read it through the Christmas story. It doesn't say how they traveled or how long it really took. It doesn't tell us if they had to stop every now and again for Mary to rest. It doesn't say how Mary felt or what Joseph did or how hard the journey was. But imagine the pain, the difficult journey for a pregnant young girl. It only tells us that they traveled to Bethlehem. I'm going to call it the journey of life. Each one of us has that journey of life. And sometimes through that journey of life, we have that pain, we have that sadness in our hearts towards a place we perhaps cannot see, perhaps we've never been. But each one of us has a journey of life like Mary does when she goes on to that walk from Nazareth to Jerusalem. 160 kilometers. I would never have dreamed for Barbara to have experienced that walk in the difficult times that she had with our second child. Maybe Mary didn't really dream of this walk either. But she went, she walked, she rode, she traveled on this path. What a motherhood and how it would be starting. It gave me that impression of what really was motherhood like for Mary at that moment in time. Because sometimes our journey of life, it doesn't make any sense, the pain and the heartache that we go through. Sometimes it seems to come at the worst possible moment. I've been on that road. And you've all heard me say my open heart surgery, surviving cancer, my road to Bethlehem. There always has been a journey of life for me, and I can only share what I have gone through. Each one of us has a journey to tell. Each one of us has that narrow way. Sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes, yes, it's painful. And it feels like God doesn't intervene. He doesn't step in to make it a happy day and make it easy. We have to have this journey of life. So again, I'm trying to emphasize the life of motherhood that Mary had. And we need to go through the scriptures to see how Mary was obedient. Thy will be done as she traveled. Not one promise from God is ever empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. I think I gave you that one, Ockert. Luke 1, verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. Is that your prayer? Can you take that prayer today and realize that? Be obedient to what it says and have no understanding, or have no better understanding, that nothing is impossible with God. Mary was full of love and praise. She loved God. Oh, what a motherhood she showed. She loved her family. Yet she was facing, with being pregnant, facing ridicule and being ostracized. God chose Mary to be the mother of God's Son, Jesus. So what qualities of motherhood did she impart to Jesus? If we go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, many of the onlookers just said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? So what happened in this family? Scripture doesn't tell us. And I'm aware that we go through the life of Mary as a mother. And as she went through step by step, we know that Mary was at the cross as she went with Jesus to a place called Golgotha. What a picture of motherhood. Here is a love of a mother that transcends even this love of God. And I'm aware sometimes that when we talk about Mother's Day, I've had in my life, I've had three mothers, okay? And you might say, what's Bob talking about now? He's lost it. I have my own biological mum who lived until she was 94. She gave me a lot of teaching. She gave me a lot in my upbringing. She was I can show you some of her letters. Her handwriting, penmanship is exquisite. You must see, even to the last of her years of 90-odd, she really had that impeccable handwriting, so I had to emulate that. We're told to be, good handwriting skills. Probably I've lost it now. She also had special rhymes that went through in teaching me certain maths and certain equations. She had these little rhymes, but they've totally lost in my head now. But she had these wonderful little things. She was a good cook, my mum. So lots of things that I have as a skill, I can basically say I had a good mum, and she really showed me. Even when I was being bullied at school, she had those little quippy words like, oh, they're stupid, leave them alone, ignore them. She had these little ways of saying it. Same mum who taught me to take a tray. We used to live on a upstairs, downstairs house, and we had a staircase. She would take the tray and show me how to do tobogganing down the stairs. So you can see the kind of happy motherhood that I was under. And then I have a mother-in-law, or had a mother-in-law. Both of them have now passed away. But what a special mom that she was to me. She would always do on a Sunday, she would always do a feast, a banquet. You couldn't ask for more. There was so much on the table. And she accepted me into the family when I married Barbara, and before we dated and then we married. And she had a mother's heart. She welcomed me. So I've had a good mother-in-law relationship. But during the week, because she was always involved in various different things, and she was always wanting to be helpful, and she'd forgot on the stove the potatoes. They would always boil dry and be burnt. All right? True enough, Barbara says. But she had a mother's heart. And of course, I've watched over the last 40-odd years of Barbara being a mother to our children, our two girls, and the grandchildren now that we have. So I've witnessed it in good light of a mother-in-law, and my own wife as a mother. But I'm also aware that perhaps some of you this morning, perhaps you've had those not such good memories. Perhaps, yes, you've had mothers, grannies, and so on who have passed away. And perhaps they are painful memories. When I was reading through Scripture, I realized that we, perhaps as rebellious teenagers, were perhaps the cause of some of the real issues that our mums didn't enjoy their motherhood, because we were rebellious teenagers. Why do I say that this morning? Well, if we read in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52, every year Jesus and his parents went to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. When Jesus was about 12 years old, is it on the screen? I'll read it. I'll just pre-say it. After the feast, traveling back home, thinking that Jesus was with some family or some other friend also traveling back home, looking for him 3 days later. And I just want to say that in the Passion Translation, Jesus was found in the temple, talking with teachers and scholars. But his mother Mary scolded Jesus, the word says. She was angry at him. Only a mother could say this to the King of Kings, for this I am sure. And she says words like this: "Son, your father and I have searched for you everywhere. We have been worried sick over not finding you. Why would you do this to us?" But Jesus replies, "Why are you searching? You should know I would be in my Father's house." But Jesus had been missing for 3 days. And it just says the word, he was scolded. Now just listen to my story. I decided one day, I was about 8 or 9, to get on my little bike and go from perhaps the Garden Route Mall right through to the other end of Blanco. So it's quite a drive on a little bike. So I was lost for 3 hours. And boy, I was not scolded. I was whipped. I was put in the bathroom and told to stay there for at least the rest of the night. I tell you, I was only gone for 3 hours, but I was just more than scolded. And then we can see the moment of a mother at the wedding at Canaan. And I think if we look at the motherhood of Mary, we can see that she was full of mother's pride when we read of the wedding at Canaan. I'm sure you all know the story. It was classed as the only first miracle that Jesus performed. And I think it's worth noting how Mary was full of pride of her son. And she said, "They've run out of wine. Just go and top it up for them." But Jesus' response to his mum was, perhaps if I'd have been doing it, respecting, and we've talked about respect for our mother, "Mum, it's not my time to do miracles yet. Leave me alone. Keep me in the background." But his mother's pride pushed through. Even though he kept on saying, Mary said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." We know the story. The water was turned into wine. But when I was reading the scripture and we're looking at mother's pride, I believe Mary is telling each one of us this morning, are we doing whatever God tells us to do? We can't keep on saying like Jesus, "It's not my time." We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. We are responding. We're being obedient. We're full of trust. Are we doing whatever God tells us to do? And then my last picture of the motherhood of Jesus' mother. And it's really talking about honoring mothers, and especially family. And we have this picture of Mary in the last portion of John chapter 19, verse 25 to 27. We can see this real picture of the quality and the characteristic and the love that Mary had for her son. She knew her son was special. But this picture that we have, this final picture of Jesus and her mother, a mother's love, it's so vivid for me as I read through it. And again, I know it's on the screen. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he simply said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to his disciple John, he said, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. And we know the story that they lived in Ephesus until they all passed away. Why did he use the word woman? Why did he say his disciple? The woman in this case represents the church, us, the bride of Christ. And the disciple, every individual that stands and looks at the cross. But that vivid picture of motherhood stands clear. The inner strength of Mary, still full of obedience, praising God, knowing that it was also her sin on the cross. Her beloved son, as she stood by the cross. Yes, stood by her son. Seeing the scars, the thorns, the agony of her son's death. What a picture this morning of a true mother's love for her son, Jesus our King. Can we celebrate mother's love with that picture of Mary, that last walk that she had with her son? Celebrating a mother's love. For some, yes, it's special. For others, there is that agony. But Jesus took all that pain, all that agony onto the cross, watched by his mother. We can celebrate a mother's love with our own obedience, our own trust, and the love of the Father who loves each and every one of us. If you feel outside of God's family today, maybe you do feel that Mother's Day is an 18th century special day that's been put on the calendar. But it is an extension, there is an extended invitation to each and every one of us to know God's redeeming love. So I ask, anyone here would like to give their heart to Jesus, to really stand like his mother, Mary, at the cross. And stand and rejoice in obedience and trust and love. Perhaps you've never given your heart to the Lord. Maybe you've come to this point of wanting to perhaps recommit your hearts to the Lord. Each one of us needs a prayer for today as we celebrate a mother's love. Do we each one of us as the bride of Christ know that love that each one of us has for Jesus? Do we feel his presence with us? Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks and praise, Lord, for our mothers and for the remembrance of our mothers, Lord, and grandmothers who have meant special things to us. But we just know, Lord, that you chose Mary to be the mother of your son here on earth. We have seen the humanity that is recorded for us in Scripture. We've seen the possible reaction and comments that have been made, Lord, from the Scripture verses. But we cannot imagine the mother's love watching Jesus on the cross as she walked with him in those last few hours. And as she stood by the cross, realizing that her sin was upon him, as each one of us looks towards the cross this morning, at that mother's love. Help us to just respond this morning, Lord. Help us respond, not just to stand and with awe at the cross, but also to respond with you being in our hearts, being in our lives. May we be obedient. May we have that trust in you. And may we truly know your love this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.